quality and fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Thursday to you. The tournament starts today. Cody McClure, where do you rank this in terms of best sports day on the calendar year? Think about that for a second as I welcome us into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Intern Cam's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. All right, Cody, tell me how you are and then answer my question, please.
Good to be here, good to be anywhere. I rank it in the top five.
What the hell does that mean?
It means I rate it highly. March okay. Madness, one of my favorite events of the year. I don't think it would top, for me, college football Saturday, the first big one. Or the first big one for Tennessee, you know? Like the Tennessee-Florida game. Yeah, maybe one of these days, you know. When we're good, is what I mean. But March Madness would be probably two or three for me. Super Bowl is always a lot of fun. I know you don't like it, but I really enjoy the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is not on my list. Like, no shame if it is on yours. Like, I understand that I might be in the minority there, but the Super Bowl is not on mine.
Yeah, Game of Thrones premiere ranks up there pretty high.
Yeah, you've really when the season's debut, you really just I can't deal with you for days at a time. You've been so distracted when the season's about to premiere.
Yeah, I do get really excited by that. But yeah. So this ranks, I'll say, third on my list.
I do love the first 2 days. It does feel a lot different when your team is playing, right?
Absolutely.
When Tennessee's not in the tournament, it's not as good. I know that might sound like an obvious statement, but it's how I feel. The years when Tennessee wasn't playing, my interest in March Madness was a lot lower. Now with Tennessee in, and the past 2 years, Tennessee's had somewhat of a chance to win the tournament. Like even as a 3 seed last year, you liked your draw and thought you could make the Final Four or the Elite Eight and have a chance. This year, of course, the same. Tennessee, a 2 seed. You think you have a chance to make the Final Four and to win the whole thing. It's a lot more fun this way. I am locked in, loaded, ready to go today. We'll be at Elkmont Exchange. It's optional. The drive
for
will
everyone.
Be... Well, I guess it is optional to come out there and hang out with us. Yeah, sure. But it's optional, and the drive will be broadcasting live from 1 to 6 in the barrel room. Come out. Eat some lunch, eat some early dinner, have some drinks, and hang out with us. First 2 days are a lot of fun. I've been a little bit of curmudgeon about it all week because I hate the build-up to it. But today, right now, is when it starts getting really fun. You're 2 hours away from the brackets locking.
So I'm guessing you got your bracket done?
I did?
Yeah?
Yep.
Who's in your Final Four?
Not telling you until 12:15.
Damn it. If I guess it right, will you give me $1,000 right now?
My entire Final Four?
Yeah.
You're going to give me $200 if you don't get it right?
Nope.
Then why would I do that?
Just as like a wow, you got it. That's impressive.
$1,000 seems a little steep.
Yeah. It's a lot.
I'll buy you lunch today if you get it right.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, you get one guess. One strike and you're out.
Okay. Duke?
You have to give me all four. I'm not just going to give you.
So you're not going to nod after I.
Right. You just give me all four and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Duke. Gonzaga. North Carolina. Who's in the other region? Tennessee.
You did not get it right.
Okay.
Virginia Tech?
No.
We're not Virginia Tech.
We're not guessing any further.
He does not have Virginia Tech beating Duke.
We're not guessing any further.
So can you just tell me?
At 12:15 when the brackets lock.
All right. Fine.
I'm in a – my pool is getting bigger and bigger, not to incriminate myself, but we got a lot of people in there, a lot of people listening to the show. I can't be giving out my picks and giving an edge to anybody. People listen to the show that are in the bracket pool. I can't be giving out my picks until it locks.
You go change their picks?
I can change theirs, yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to because I'm an honorable man, but I can. But I'm saying – oh, you're saying they might go change theirs? They might, possibly.
It could happen.
So I can keep it quiet until it's locked. What are the biggest storylines as we head into the tournament? I tried to think about this question all day, and I really couldn't think of many. Obviously, we have Zion, right? We all know Zion is the biggest story. Duke and what they do.
Depending on how far they go, I would say the prospect of maybe getting a Duke-Carolina national championship game. I think that will be talked about, especially if both of them get to the Sweet 16 and, you know, assuming that they're showing flexing their muscles.
I really hate that that is a potential championship matchup, Duke-Carolina.
Yeah? You saying it could be rigged?
No. I don't think it's going to be rigged.
What if we have to play Carolina in the Final Four?
That would be, I mean, I think I would sign up for that because I want to be in the Final Four. I'm not scared of Carolina. I just don't want Duke Carolina in the national championship. And I would say if you ask Duke and Carolina fans, they don't want it in the national championship.
Why not?
Because if you lose that game, it's over. The rivalry is over. That will always be the trump card. You don't come back from that.
North Carolina.
You swept us in the regular season. Yeah, I don't care. Remember that time we beat you for a national championship? End of conversation. Yeah, but we have a 10-game lead in the series. Yeah, remember that time we beat you for a national championship? Yeah, but we got Coach K and Zion. National championship. Roy Williams. National championship. It just ends it at that point. Like, Georgia could beat Alabama for the next 5 times. As long as one of them wasn't in the national championship, doesn't matter. Same as Alabama LSU, right? Like, once Alabama dominated LSU the way they did in the national championship, that rivalry was dead too. Hell, has LSU won since that happened?
Won what?
A game against Alabama.
No.
Rivalry is over in more than one ways, I guess.
Yeah, no, Alabama's undefeated against LSU since that moment.
All right. Les Miles could have had, what, 3 national championships? And instead he ends up in Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
But that game ruined a lot of his life, too.
The Alabama-Georgia rivalry's not over, though.
No, Alabama has a trump card. Like I said, Georgia could beat them the next 5 times. Now, it'll be a little different because the SEC championship in football is different than basketball inherently. But still, until they do it in the national championship, Alabama will always be able to say that to Georgia. If Tennessee was able to make a national championship and beat Alabama in football, that would wipe away the last 10 years of futility, in my opinion.
Well, if we get to the Final Four and lose to Kentucky, is that going to be end that rivalry? I mean, can Kentucky then say, well, yeah, Rick Barnes has our number, but we beat you in the Final Four?
Yeah. I mean, I think – did you not feel that way last year? Now, Tennessee – just go ahead.
P.J. Washington is out for today's game. John Calipari tweets, the specialist confirmed our diagnosis. P.J. Washington has a sprained foot and there is no fracture. We determined that P.J. was not going to play today. They put him in a hard cast for precautionary reasons. He's out for today's game.
Is that worth the horn? They're playing Abilene Christian. And that was 18 minutes ago. I had it on my notes. I'm not saying I missed it, but that was a part of my storylines. We're looking for the biggest storylines. I was going to say the only thing I could come up with was Zion and Duke. Injuries.
That's why I was going to.
I had injuries. Purdue's Carson Edwards, like his back's messed up. P.J. Washington has a sprained foot in a walking boot, in a walking cast right now.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was going to tell you that could be a storyline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Houston sent it in to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely.
And he brought us the horn.
He felt obligated at that point to ring it.
So
I understand.
Yeah. I thought, well, if Houston's going to go to that trouble, I guess I'll, you know. So, I mean, it doesn't matter today, but it could matter in 2 days.
It could. And as you are putting your bracket together, there you go. There's a little nugget. P.J. Washington's out today. Who knows if he'll be ready in 2 days. And if he's not ready in 2 days against Wofford, that might be a problem for them.
That's a good Wofford team.
It is. Kentucky has a tough road to hoe, and their best player might be out. Their second best player behind Reed Travis, I guess. According to Kentucky fans.
When it's convenient for them.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be really happy that Reed Travis is still playing. They'd be on upset alert if he was the one out. We'll keep talking about these NCAA storylines. Fill in the call. Feel free to send yours in via Twitter or call in 865-546-8200. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, we're looking for the NCAA tournament's biggest storylines. Now, the thing about the NCAA tournament, Cody, is that usually the storylines manifest themselves after round one, right?
Yeah, like some, you know, you have somebody with a player that comes out of nowhere or a
team that comes out of nowhere.
A team that's going to make after that weekend, you're looking at the Sweet 16. So that's when you know you've got a Cinderella story or, you know, sometimes a team has like a special person who helps guide them to.
Becomes like a good luck charm of sorts.
Right.
And, you know, the NCAA just really.
And everyone falls in love with her. And
CBS and networks just really push that person down your throat.
And it gets really annoying. Right. So things like that happen. And, yeah, so the storylines a lot of times probably develop after the games.
Got a couple people tweeting in, Virginia and their bounce back from last year is the second biggest storyline.
Virginia.
And how they bounce back after the embarrassment. I'm telling you, there's going to be a Tom Rinaldi piece. I hate that Tennessee and Virginia are in the same bracket, but after the first weekend, heading into the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, we'll get that piece because I don't want it to be in the Final Four, like. I've said all year I think Virginia's making the Final Four. Then, of course, they get matched up with Tennessee. But that Tom Rinaldi piece is coming about Virginia's redemption.
I think Oregon and Belmont could be storylines after this weekend.
Why? Just in what regard? Just as high seeds who are make the Sweet 16 type of thing?
Yeah. I really like I told you I like Oregon, but I think Oregon could, after the weekend, they may not be a big storyline right now, even though they've won eight in a row, but if they can reel off wins against Wisconsin and Kansas State, I think they will for sure be there after the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Oregon's what, won eight in a row? Oregon is one of those teams that is playing a lot better than their seed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do like to beware, when I'm filling my bracket out, of the teams that everyone thinks is going to pull the upset.
And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Everyone, you know, usually hones in on one upset. Everything, you know, makes sense for that team to win, and then they don't. And then you feel dumb.
Right. And then something else happens, like Northern Kentucky beats Texas Tech.
Sure.
You know?
Oregon's kind of that 12 that everyone is zoned in on right now, thinking that they are going to make a deep run.
Makes me feel like my bracket is basic.
Well, I don't mean to make you feel like your bracket is basic.
I don't know if I'm being more conservative this year, because like a lot of times I pick all these upsets. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's going to hit. That's going to hit. And then they don't, and I'm just like, yeah, it's dumb. Is it just me, or here's a storyline for you. Is it just me, or does it seem like we're going more chalk this year? Like the ones and twos are really going to – obviously not all of them will make the Elite Eight, but maybe all besides a couple? Seems to me like the ones and twos are definitely on their own playing field.
I mean, does it not feel like that way every year, though?
I don't think so.
That the ones and twos are the best teams in the country?
I don't think so. I think a lot of years the threes and fours at least seem on the same – close to the same level. I think it's different this year.
I mean, I guess last year, if we're just taking last year, for example, I don't remember all the twos. I remember Cincinnati was a two, and I don't think anybody was scared of them. Right?
No, yeah, nobody was scared of them.
So like I said, the storylines will kind of come out of the weekend organically. There will be, you know, a couple of high-digit seeds who make it to the Sweet 16. That'll happen. I don't know if there will be any good luck charm fan that will get shoved down our throat this year. I'm not sure.
Better hope not.
Wesley tweets in. You got some good round one storylines. You got Ja Morant versus Marcus Howard. That's a good one. Wesley tweets that you got Buffalo versus Arizona State. Arizona State's coach. Is it Bobby Hurley? Bobby's the one at Arizona State, right? Bobby Hurley helped build that Buffalo program.
Yeah, and a lot of people love that Buffalo team, too.
Yeah.
They're 31-3
on
the year. That will be a storyline.
So Bobby Hurley going against the program that he helped build, and I assume a bunch of players he helped recruit. There are some good matchups in that respect. I mean, I like that the – I haven't seen enough coverage of it, but I do like that the committee had a little bit of fun. I was prepped for the Texas-Tennessee round two potential matchup, although Texas went 500 and missed the tournament. You hate to see it. Poor Shaka. Home run higher. Can't be in the tournament in year three. But I do like that they went ahead and they put Louisville versus Little Patino.
Little Richard.
Little Richard Pitino at Minnesota versus Louisville, team that, you know, obviously fired his dad. Is Rick going to be in the front row right behind Minnesota's bench? Does he show up or does he stay wherever he's at? Whatever coffin he's in.
Hey, you got to show up and come support your son.
Do you?
Especially against your former team.
What if you lose, though?
Well, then you quietly make your way out of the arena
and
forget about it.
The game's during sunlight. I don't know if Pitino can get out and make it.
That's a good point.
It's the early game. It's the high noon game, right? It's the tournament tip-off at 12:15, right? Yeah, sun's too bright at that point. Pitino, if it was a night game, he'd be there, but sun, I don't think he can make it.
Unless maybe he's got a tunnel or something connecting to his hotel.
Sure. Sure. Do bright lights bother vampires?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I know the sun does, but I mean, like, would the stadium lighting affect vampires? Or is it just natural sunlight? It's just natural sunlight, right?
Ben?
Thumbs up from Ben, as in saying it's just the natural sunlight.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, True Blood, right? I watched True Blood, and they were hanging out in lighted houses all the time. And, like, the bar, you know, there was dim light, I guess. It wasn't really bright light. Like, this, like, our lights up here are pretty bright. These shine right down. I don't know. It might affect a vampire.
If Twilight. You go off, like, the Twilight movies, they can go out, like, even if it's quiet, even if it's cloudy.
That's why they based the show in Cincinnati, I guess. Or not Cincinnati, Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincinnati. That's why they based it in Seattle. Very cloudy, overcast.
Yeah, rainy. They're just like, as long as it's not just directly on us, we're fine.
Okay.
Direct sunlight. You would think Seattle would have more vampires. Just somewhere where it's cloudy all the time.
One would think.
Could you carry just an umbrella around? That's what I never understood, is why vampires couldn't just carry umbrellas around. Just like, hey, this is right above me. I'm good.
What about just wear sunglasses?
I don't think it's the sun in their eyes. It's the sun on their skin that's the problem. You thought that's how vampires died, was get sun in their eyes?
No.
I mean, they'd always be hot, but they could go with like a hat and jacket.
Gloves?
Yeah, like hands in the pockets.
But I think then at some point people would say, wait a second, what's wrong with you? Wait, you're a vampire?
Nothing's wrong with me.
Back away from me, mortal. That'd be a part of the vampire problem is blending in. So if you're going with full gloves and full like sweater, someone's gonna be like, what is wrong with this guy?
Are vampires really even that scary?
Yeah. Vampires are pretty scary.
In terms of scary creatures, I feel like they're down the list.
Like, I know we tried to normalize them through Hollywood, and is there a capital for book writing? Like, if I say in the books, like, the movies, you just say Hollywood. Is there a place for books?
I think it's just Stephen King's house.
I know we tried to normalize them in Hollywood and Stephen King's house, but it still seemed kind of scary to me. They drink your blood.
Could they not?
And then you turn into a vampire, right? Or die.
Could they not?
You're lucky if they turn you into a vampire, because the other alternative is just die. They could keep you as a slave, I guess, and just keep drinking your blood, and you keep replenishing it, and they just keep drinking it. And that wouldn't be fun either.
Wouldn't it be easier for them to just find some blood, like go to a hospital and just take like some of the blood there and then have a supply of it on hand instead of having to be a predator and attack people every time you need blood?
The problem is visiting hours are usually during the sunlight. That's kind of the problem. Mm. You can't really just go into a hospital at night and not raise some red flags.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It is inconvenient for them to not have the sunlight, to only be able to do what they do at night.
Sure. Yeah, it's just working on third shift.
Are you really that scary, though, if you can be, like, scared away by, like, a piece of wood or a clove of garlic? I mean, are you really that scary?
Do you keep a clove of garlic in your pockets?
Like, I would if I knew there were vampires around.
I guess that makes sense. If we knew that vampires are real, it would be kind of dumb to not keep garlic on you at all time.
Change into bats.
How scary of a creature can you be if you're scared away by garlic?
Instead of keeping strapped with a gun, I got my garlic right here in my front pocket, buddy. You want to try me?
Yeah. I mean, are they really that?
Okay.
Or a cross necklace.
Yeah. I wonder, could you just put the arms up? Can you make a crucifix with your hand? Is that good enough?
If you want them to bite your forearm.
I guess that would be the scary part. That's where all the veins, there's a lot of veins right there in your wrist.
Yeah. I think maybe I got bit by one, and that's what's wrong with my finger.
If you're just joining us, PJ Washington out for Kentucky today. Injuries. I don't know where it is in my top five of storylines. I'm trying to find some. We're flushing some out right now. Vampire Rick Pitino, his son Richard, who is, I guess, also at least half vampire, taking on Louisville, Pitino's former school. That is one of the first round matchups that at least has some type of storylines on it. Disgruntled Vol says you only turn into vampires if you drink their blood. Is that how it works? What? I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that.
I don't think that's true, Dobo. That doesn't check out. Debo, that doesn't check out. Not for me. Keep sending us in your NCAA tournament storylines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm in that 745. Looking for the biggest storylines in the NCAA tournament. I've been saying for the last couple weeks I love this time of year. There was some really good action in the NBA last night, too. That Sixers-Celtics game felt like a playoff game. The Sixers finally get the monkey off their back by beating the Celtics. Embiid put on a show. Good action last night in the NBA. There's good games all around. The Rockets-Grizzlies somehow played a classic. I don't know where it came from for the Grizzlies, but they put on a really good performance beating Houston as they try to get outside the top eight so that they could send their draft pick to Boston. And then maybe just rebuild in the offseason. But it was a really good Mike Conley performance. Jonas Valanciunas balled out, hit the game-winning free throw with 0.1 seconds left. Good action. The Heat. The Heat are kind of rounding into form. Since they got Goran Dragic back, they have been pretty damn good. They've won 8 of their last 10. They went in San Antonio last night. They are a pretty dangerous low seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs right now. If the playoffs started right now, Miami would be an 8 seed, and they would be taking on a Milwaukee team without their starting point guard. Or I guess he's just kind of a combo guard with Malcolm Brogdon. I guess Bledsoe is technically the starting point guard, but Brogdon does a lot of the ball handling and spot-up shooting. Milwaukee's struggling a little bit. They lost last night in Cleveland. Basketball heating up. And, of course, what many of you care the most about when it comes to basketball is the NCAA tournament. That tips off. We're looking at, what, an hour and 45 minutes?
What is our first game today?
Louisville, Minnesota.
Should be a good one.
I like some of these first-round matchups.
Who you got in the Louisville-Minnesota game?
Can't tell you until 12:15. I have a strict rule. Can you want to go through your bracket?
Can you just give us one, like an early Christmas present?
Yes.
Give us one pick you've got. That's not,
I think that's Duke, not I a think one Duke seed is going to,
or a two seed.
I think Duke is going to get out of the first round.
Give us 1-8-9.
Can't guess the rules. Eight and nines are where the brackets are won or lost, man.
All right, give us a 7-10. Just one of
them. That one also equally where brackets are won.
Can't give us something?
Let me give you something. I like Virginia Tech to beat St. Louis.
I mean.
There.
Everyone does.
There's your one.
Although St. Louis used to be a popular upset pick, but that team they had two or three years ago, I don't think they have the same team anymore.
No, usually that's how it works in college as people leave. They graduate, leave school.
Yeah, it's hard to stay around for more than 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Tops 5 years.
It's hard to get a dynasty going with the same guys for, 4 or 5, 6 years.
It is. You've seen it work in the NBA, but in college ball, it's hard to make that happen. Unless you're that dude who played quarterback for Oklahoma State. Who was that?
Whedon?
Yeah. Wasn't he like 32?
Yeah, he like went to play with the Yankees for a little bit. I don't think he was 32. I think that's a little low. I think
he got drafted at 28.
Yeah, like 27, 28.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
No, wasn't that the same as Chris Winkie? Wasn't Chris Winkie an old man like that?
I don't know.
I want to say Chris Winkie was too, but it's been a couple of decades.
I was two.
Louisville, Minnesota, LSU, Yale. And now that one starts at 12:40 today on True TV if you can find the channel. And
really?
I know,
we're still doing those jokes?
I know.
The tournament's been on True TV for how long now? You know where the hell True TV is.
It's still difficult.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's usually right around TBS.
Sometimes if you're a streamer, you don't even get it.
Well, you should just pay for cable.
You should just pay for cable. Not everyone can afford cable. Some folks have to stream. That's a popular upset pick.
What is?
Yale. LSU doesn't even have a coach.
That's true. They do not.
Yale scores, 83 points a game, something like that?
All right, give me your East region. Let's hear it.
We're going to go through it's optional did yesterday. They spent an hour going through the regions yesterday.
What are you talking about? Why are you – you've been trying to do that for 3 days.
That's true, I have. But I just didn't think we would actually do it.
Last year we did. Last year we took your expert analysis for game-by-game predictions.
We did not go through every region last year.
I'm pretty sure we did because you pretended like you knew about every team.
All right, we can go through ours quickly.
No, forget it. If you don't want to do it, I thought you were champing at the bit to do it.
I do want to do it. Duke.
I don't want to hear it. I was trying to throw you a bone.
All right, East region. Duke, Central Florida, Mississippi State, Virginia Tech, Belmont.
Where's the analysis? I need
Belmont,
the analysis.
Belmont, LSU, Louisville, Michigan State.
I need the analysis. That's what I was asking for. Yeah. Anyone can just read off team names. You're a sports expert.
Okay. Duke's a one seed.
Okay.
And they have Zion Williamson.
Okay.
There's that one. Central Florida has had a good basketball team this year. They have fewer losses in a better conference than VCU. They've beaten Houston. They're better. Mississippi State is a 5 seed. Liberty is a 12 seed. Liberty did win their conference tournament, and I believe they beat Belmont. Haven't they beaten Lipscomb this year? So they're a solid team, but I'm not taking the bait on that one. I like Mississippi State over the Libs. Number four.
We're going to own the Libs.
Got to own the Libs if you're the SEC. Number four, Virginia Tech. I mean, you've already made that clear all week why they're so good. They've got two good players, good coach. Who's their coach? Buzz. Buzz always gets out of the first round. So, and as I just said, St. Louis is not the team they used to be because college players graduate. And so there's the analysis on that one. On the bottom side, Belmont. They've already got a win under their belt.
I'm a little nervous about St. Louis. Travis Ford just seems gritty. Throwback to the Oklahoma State days. He was pretty good at Oklahoma State.
Do they have the same coach there that they had?
No, he died.
A couple years ago?
No, he died.
Come on.
He 100% died.
You can't make jokes like that on the...
Not joking. He died.
You're saying he's dead.
He perished. He is no longer with us.
The coach that led them to the run
years
ago is now dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's stick with Virginia Tech there.
Rick Majerus. He died in 2012.
How were they so good? What did they do?
I mean, he was a good basketball coach.
They were a really good shooting team, right?
St. Louis, I picked them to go to the Final Four that one year.
Oh, my goodness. The Billikens.
They got beat in the second round.
They had a cool name, too, the Billikens.
Much like Rick Majerus, my bracket died. RIP to both.
You shouldn't make fun of things like that. But if a shooter gets hot, I could see it being a problem for Virginia Tech. So I like Belmont on the bottom side over Maryland. Belmont, as I said, they've already got a game under their belt. And Maryland, I mean, you're telling me you're a Big Ten team and you're going to be a 6 seed in the tournament?
What kind of analysis is that? You're a Big Belmont Ten team there. And you're a 6 seed.
Let's take Belmont there. Number LSU, Yale. I heard Ben Lee pick this one yesterday, and I mean, 83 points a game for Yale, and LSU doesn't have a coach, but it's Yale, man. It's an Ivy Leaguer. They did beat Baylor that one time.
They got more rebounds in that game.
It's a popular pick. I can't do it. Not in a 14-3. I'm going LSU. Louisville, we talked about them with Minnesota. They'll win. Michigan State will beat Bradley because they're a 2 seed. So there's your analysis.
All right, Kurt Majette is going to join us after the break on behalf of Hops and Hollers. They're doing an event out there on April 12th. We'll talk to Kurt about it next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. All right, let's bring on Kurt Majette. Kurt Majette is hosting an event at Hops and Hollers on Friday, April the 12th. Kurt, thanks for making time for us. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How you doing? Good morning, by the way.
Yeah, good morning, man. Hope you're doing well. Tell us about this Night to Remember that you guys are doing at Hops and Hollers on April 12th.
Start off, I just say I appreciate all the support, you know, everybody that's helped out so far with my idea, you know, bringing it to life. And, you know, being a student athlete, it's rare for us to put something on ourselves, you know, lead something ourselves and, you know, and do something, especially as a former Vol, you know, as a VFL. So I feel like there's always been a disconnection with former Vols in itself. Earlier this year, I had a meeting with a lot of the Tennessee alumni, with Coach Fulmer and I, and it was a lot of guys in Knoxville that played and in the surrounding areas that I never knew. I never knew were around, you know, and I think that as former Vols, we need to continue that bond, you know, because we all have a shared interest and a shared commitment, you know, as a volunteer for life. And I think there's also a disconnect with former Vols and Vol fans. You know, some football fans have a favorite player that they never can get in touch with or never can get around. Or, you know, once their time at Tennessee done, that connection usually kind of fades away. So those two disconnections, and also the Change Center, you know, and with the Change Center being local to us, it's new, and it's a great cause. I went over there. I visited it twice, and I have some people that's affiliated with it. So I'm trying to bridge those gaps as well as utilize small business, because I'm a big fan of small businesses, mom-and-pop shops, you know, and entrepreneurs. So I'm trying to bridge the gap and bring the Tennessee, East Tennessee community together like no other, really. And it's a big idea for me, and I'm very nervous, but I'm very excited because I think it's got some potential for everybody to come out happy. And
when you talk about the former players all trying to, you know, to bond, get closer, you know, like you said, bridge the gap between generations, was that your initial idea? Is that something Philip Fulmer wants to do as a program? How does that come about?
Well, it sparked an idea because Coach Fulmer brought in a lot of guys, and we had a very good talk. You know, it's just kind of just throwing stuff on the table. Everybody sharing their ideas. How can we better the program? How can we make this a place where everybody feels welcome, whether you played in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or whatever, right? And it was eye-opening to me that there were lawyers, high school coaches, you know, people in, like, a lot of different walks of life that's former Vols. And in my opinion, if someone, let's say someone's in the chief of the fire department, and he's a former Vol, and football doesn't work for everybody, right? So let's utilize that as a network where if somebody else that's playing ball want to get into being a firefighter at some point, they have a connection. And we also have a shared passion, shared interest, right?
Sure.
So I think that meeting kind of sparked it for me. And also just playing football, man, time flies. I think we all can agree to that. Some of my best friends are getting married, having kids, and we got a lot of group messages. And, you know, I've graduated. I've been going from university for, I think, over 3 years now, and that's crazy to think about. But if we continue to let it happen, time will keep going. And guys that I haven't seen since 2014, 2013, next thing you know, we look up, it'll be 10 years, 15 years, you know. So I want to take initiative and set something where guys can say, okay, the night before the spring game, we'll have this event for us, for Vol fans, for the local community. Everybody's happy. And also something huge I want to do for Vol fans is keep it limited. And we're working on the exact number we want to go with, but it's definitely going to be a limited space. We want it to be a unique experience and not overwhelming for the players or Vol fans.
Sure.
And we're going to have unique items, you know, silent auction items, live auction items. Just kind of want it to be a night to remember. You know, Travis Smith, a former Vol that I didn't know, he's got a food truck, a barbecue truck, delicious food. So that's, you know, so we're going to bridge that gap. We're going to bring him in. So if Vol fans see Smith's End Zone Barbecue, they're going to know, you know. So I'm just trying to, that's my idea.
It's a big networking event for former players. No, it's cool. And speaking as a fan in the media, I think other fans are going to really enjoy this opportunity. April 12th. Hops and Hollers. Kurt, they can buy tickets where? Where can they get tickets right now?
On both of my social media platform, Instagram and Twitter, at Kurt Majit. It's the link's in my bio. And, or you can just go to eventslocal.com and type in A Night to Remember, and it should pop up.
Give us some of the guest list. Who is on the docket right now to join you at Hops and Hollers on April 12th?
All right, so we got new signed Lions player Justin Coleman.
Okay, highest Eric paid Barnett. Nickelback. Ah. Hey, maybe he'll buy some barbecue. Highest paid nickel corner in the league.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to bring a lot of guys around that, you know, that I haven't seen in a while, and that Vol fans probably don't see all the time. You know, and they maybe got questions, maybe want to take a snap with them. You know, so just bring them around, right? So we'll have Justin Coleman, Barnett, you know, Dobbs, A.J., Reeves, Maben, you know, some of the older guys. I've been talking with Juwan James, CP, you know, just trying to get a lot of those guys that I played with,
okay,
as well as get some of the older guys there as well.
Now, this seems like a good opportunity, Kurt, to make this kind of an annual thing. I hope this goes well, and maybe we can make this kind of a tradition, the first, you know, the Friday right before the spring game every year, because I do think this is going to be a good event. I do think a lot of people are going to show up to show these guys love, because it wasn't the best time in Tennessee history, right? I mean, it wasn't a time where fans were really overly happy with the winning and losing, but there are a lot of good guys that this fan base feels really attached to. Like, maybe even the lack of success makes this more connected to a lot of these players who, you know, quite frankly, deserve better.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, we all had a shared interest, you know, like a common goal when we came to the university. Maybe things didn't work out, but outside of what happened on the field, the bond that we shared in the locker room, it should always be there, you know. And some of those memories, stories that when we were in Gibbs Hall, you know, walking the class, and just those memories, they shouldn't die. You know, no matter what sport you're doing, if you grow a bond, and it's a genuine bond, try your best to keep it alive no matter what your occupation is. And, you know, because, you know, life is short, and time we don't always have as much time as we think, you know, and life happens. So, you know, get around the people that you enjoy and celebrate life, you know. And like you said, I really want to do this annually. You know, I've been getting tremendous support, a lot of sponsors, you know, and been collaborating with a lot of local businesses. First of all, like, thanks to my buddy Todd at Hops and Hollers.
Shout out, Todd.
Him and Emily. Yeah. They're my guys. Not my guys. Two of my friends. So, they're helping out tremendously, and they've helped me gain momentum as well, you know, with the confidence, because to me it's a huge step, like I said, for an athlete to put on an event, because I'm not really going third party to put everything on. I'm trying to utilize my resources and network, so it's been cool so far.
Kurt, did you see the NCAA propaganda video about the day in the life of a student athlete?
Yeah. If you don't see who tweeted or look at the caption, you won't know what that video is about. That's
really
got zero correlation to what a student athlete go through.
Give us a quick rundown of a real depiction. Day. Because I feel like it starts a lot earlier than 8 a.m. in class. I feel like you boys were out 5, 6 a.m.
If you got an 8 a.m. class, you got to work out at 6. You probably eat. I used to eat a slight breakfast before my 6 a.m. workout. Eat a quick workout, jog to class, gallon of water in my hand, running up the hill, sweating, sitting in class right before the class bell ring. I'm squeezing next to two people that I'm too big. I got my lunch bag, and once I'm done with that class, I maybe got 20 minutes to get to my next class, and once I'm finished with that class, you got 15, 20 minutes to grab lunch, get ready for meetings, and you know what I mean? That video wasn't quite accurate, but they tried, and I think that was a bad idea.
It's a little bit more of a grind than that video, I would say.
Made looking like a D1 athlete pretty easy. It was all sweet, just get up and take your time. All right, Kurt, I think we're losing you. Appreciate you coming on. We'll help promote this event. Hopefully we'll get you on in a couple weeks again to give it another push before the actual event.
That sounds awesome. And, I appreciate your time. And thanks to all the sponsors and everybody that's helped out so far. And I'm excited to see everybody there and ready for a night to remember.
All right, Kurt Majette, we will share the pass. Good talking to you. Wish you nothing but the best. We'll talk soon. We will tweet out the link both on my personal account and on the station account. A night to remember. Sounds like there's going to be a lot of people from the 2012, 2016 type of teams. Maybe we'll get some older generation people there as well. But that'll be April 12th, Friday, the night before the orange and white game.
Sounds like a good idea. It's like it's kind of like LinkedIn for VFLs.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna compare it, like I said, to a networking event. A little bit. I mean, they are a fraternity, right? You always hear about the fraternity.
Well,
like,
we always hear about Duke and how people always take care of Duke.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we could kind of have something like that too. But and it's good to get the guys who played more recently. A lot of those guys are still in the pros. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
we see Al Wilson all the time.
It's kind of sad that you have to, you know, have Kurt kind of do this by himself, you know, as a former player kind of take the initiative of it. It should have been something that probably should have already been in place. But, yeah, be a good night for the fans. If they get tickets, go eat some barbecue, drink some yummy craft beer at our favorite bar, Hops and Hollers. Be a good night on Central Street. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.